welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, September the 10th, 2022. It is season 16, episode number 30. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone numbers are working, 272-9228. 334-272-9228 is the number. If you need to adjust, go right ahead. You good? All right, yeah. Cool. 272-9228 is the number. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv. That's Discord that I'm pointing at. Twitch is up there. Go to twitch.tv, type in InGameChat. You'll find us. Go to our website, ingamechat.net. Scroll all the way to the bottom. Links right there for you to watch us on Twitch or join in the Discord, which we more than are happy to, you know, welcome you into our Discord so that you can join us on the show, whether it be by just typing some comments there in one of the channels or jumping into the voice channel and chatting with us on the air, whatever way works for you. We really appreciate it when you chat with us on the air. Quality sounds amazing, so sure, why not? But yeah, that's what we're doing. We're live right now. AC Wraith, I see, is in the chat room. He's the only one that's spoken so far, and I haven't checked the list of people in the room just yet. Kind of let it get filled up there. Filled up. Let, you know, the five or six who show up, if that. So, excuse me. Just took a drink of water, and then all of a sudden, So, welcome into the show. Been 2 weeks away, and we'll talk about what's been going on. I mean, it's been 2 weeks. RJ, what have you played in that amount of time? Actually, wait a second. It's belated, but we'll say happy birthday to you anyway. It was yesterday.
No, thank you.
But happy birthday to you today. Yeah. What did you do for your birthday? Anything?
Worked.
I mean, yeah. Did you do anything after you worked?
Cooked dinner.
Did you do anything today for it?
No.
Okay. You're a really party guy, aren't you?
Yeah.
You just tear it down, don't you?
Yeah, just tear it down. Yeah. Right. No, seriously, folks. I mean, at some certain point, you know, birthdays is just, you know, it doesn't mean much. I'm kind of like that. I think Patton Oswalt talked about the birthdays on doing one of his comedy sketches, and it's like, yes, at some points you just don't, just doesn't hit you like it did when you were younger.
Yeah, for the most part, I'm not really.
It's like your 21st, your 18th in some states.
Did you get a card?
Nope.
Did you nothing?
Did you get nothing? No. I mean,
other than maybe some what people on Facebook? Happy birthday, RJ.
Yeah, folks on Facebook. Yeah. So yeah.
All right.
I got that. I'll take it.
Not even a card.
No card.
Nothing from mom and dad.
Not yet. Okay. I haven't seen him yet.
Oh, all right. All
right. So
hopefully you get something.
Yeah. Older.
Well, yeah, but I mean, hopefully you get something from somebody else, from other people.
Yeah. Look, you acknowledge it, and I thank you for it.
Yeah,
all
right.
So, hey, much obliged, sir.
Yeah, I guess here I sit, not getting. I didn't give you anything either. I didn't have a card.
You wished me well.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'll get a bag of chips out of the vending machine if you want.
I got a Snicker bar already.
Oh, you already went and bought something. Well, man. All right, fine. Well, happy birthday to you, bud.
Thank you, sir.
So what'd you play?
Do you buy
yourself anything for your birthday?
No.
Okay. No, that's fine.
Other than stuff I bought when I cooked dinner, yeah. So
I did. Yeah. Well, I just didn't know if you celebrated yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like you just treated yourself. No. Hey, it's my birthday, I'll treat myself.
No.
Okay.
No.
Dropping the birthday stuff then. All right, we're done. Okay. Go ahead.
played a little bit more Elden Ring, finding more strategies and whatnot. I'm currently going through a playthrough as my sorceress, my magic-based character, so I'm trying to find all types of new strategies to go through, and I'm finding some things are a lot harder when you're based on magic, as opposed to strength and dexterity, like I'm used to. So, can't take hits for nothing, so I gotta be real careful and keep my distance, but there are some points where you just have to get up close and personal because you're out of fuel for your magic, so I gotta force the issue and get up close and personal a lot, so that's why I'm finding out how much I could take, how much I can take before I have to back off and start running. So, going through that with Elden Ring. Played a little bit of Warframe.
Yeah.
Been a while since I've
done
so.
I was about to say, it's been a while since you've jumped into that, or at least mentioned it, yeah.
So I'm going to let me know that there was some, a whole bunch of free stuff being offered.
Right.
So
they had some big event and they got a bunch of free stuff.
Big event frames, building materials, all that type of good stuff. So I jumped in there a little bit and saw what I could do with that. Grand Theft Auto 5. Well, Grand Theft Auto Online, basically. There's a sale on, there's a boost in profit from your nightclubs. And I've got a nightclub as one of my characters, so I'm going to be working on that and trying to build that stuff up as well.
Yeah.
A little more time on Virtua Fighter 5. As always, I'm still trying to build that fight total up. You know, people are in the tens of thousands, and I'm still at 460 at this point. It's not a lot, but, you know, keep playing enough, and it'll get there eventually. And let's see. What else did I play? Oh, yeah. Phantasy Star Online. New Genesis. Just came out on the 31st of August, so I was able to get on that. Fortunately, I haven't played that game in so long, I had to relearn everything that I did in that game. So, it was a lot of...
That's usually my deterrent.
Yeah, it was usually a whole bunch of trial and error. Like, what does this button do again? Oh, I forgot. Oh, how do I defeat this opponent? How do I switch weapons? How do I switch skills? How do I switch techniques?
Yeah.
How do I switch a character? Oh, I can't use that character because it's on ship 3. I need to put it on ship 1. Oh, it costs currency to do that? Okay, I got to get some currency. And, you know, the whole getting reaffirmed with everything else on that point. So, that's what I spent my 2 weeks playing throughout the time we were off.
Well, before we jump into mine, and we got people waiting on the phones already. Got both lines lit here. We're going to get to each of you here. Who you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
It's me, Chris.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Not too bad. Like RJ, I've never played Phantasy Star Online 2, but I've been hooked on it since I got back on Wednesday from vacation. So it's hooked its claws into me as well.
How have you liked it so far? Obviously, it's hooked you, but how do you like it?
Well, I'm playing through the original Phantasy Star Online 2, not the new Genesis portion, where I figured out how to swap to the old game, and I've been going through the old game right now. But yeah, it's real fun.
Yeah, you got a lot of content in the old game that a lot of people are still playing, and the switch for me was, you know, so used to having all those stats and numbers like high level that you actually got to start over, basically on New Genesis. So there's another aspect you have to deal with as well, having to start from scratch, literally all over again.
Yeah.
So yeah. So those nice big weapons that I was used to carrying in the old one, I got to go back to this little pea shooter that I just have to go through it and grind again. But yeah, I don't mind the grind though.
Yeah, that's what I like about it too. Is so far I've got a couple characters I'm working on, a force and tech or build, like, you know, basically magic range build and elemental damage, and I've got her up to level 22 so far. So yeah, I've been having fun.
Yeah, I mean, you could. It doesn't have to be. And the thing about it is, you don't have to be beholden to force and magic. You could, but there are some things you can mix and match. I mean, it won't be as powerful. Like, for instance, what I've been doing since I've always played Phantasy Star, I've always had a ranger, basically shooter from distance. You know, gun, long range rifle, take folks out from a distance, but at the same time be a support and use magical skills to heal. So basically, like a support, really, for the game. So you don't have to hold yourself to anything class. You can mix and match and do all types of stuff with this game. So there's going to be a unique experience for everyone who gets on there and plays it.
Well, one of the other things I found interesting, whenever you do the missions and stuff, you can select from other free-to-play characters, like people you've met or that were online that you've met before, and you can basically add them as a group to your member, you know, your member of your group. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're controlled by the computer, so, you know, you got free people. You can say, oh, I want a ranger, I want a fighter, and all this, and they can go with quests on you for free, if, like, there were real people playing with you.
Yeah, the AI part is based on folks you meet through story mode. Yeah, it's a very nice benefit to have, especially with those big group battles that you couldn't possibly do by yourself. You couldn't do it. You need help with that one. So it's good to it's a good thing to have, be able to pull up to, was it three or four folks?
Or a group of total of four. You know, yeah, pull total three of four. Extra people.
Three extra people you can pull on there with you, and they level up with you. You know, as you level up, they level up.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be some someone real squishy in there with you. All of them are pretty capable.
Always good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, Chris. Well, anything else?
No, just been playing that and fussing at the darn weather that we got back home to. You know, I missed the weather from out there from Oregon, but oh well.
That's good and cool out there.
And I spent way too much money on retro games and everything, but yeah, I spent a fortune out there, but oh well.
I understand. Well, thanks for calling in. It's good to hear from you.
All right, y'all do the same. We'll talk to you later.
Take care
now.
Bye-bye.
Right, bye.
Let's go to the line two. Hi, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
Happy birthday, RJ!
Thank you.
It's Matt.
We know.
You knew. I had to wait for him to actually say that, because the whatever voice he was using to say happy birthday, I did not recognize.
Yeah. So. How you been, man? What you been up to?
Busy. Really, really busy.
Yeah, I bet. Because we talked about last time you were here, you said you were going to be running the gauntlet, going to be a whole bunch of stuff you were going to be getting into.
Yeah, until the end of the year, my dance card's pretty much full, it seems like.
Mm. So you've been able to slip any gaming in there while you're doing that?
A little bit. I played a little bit of a Spider-Man on my Steam Deck.
Yeah.
Just, you know, running through that. It runs really smooth on that.
Mm-hmm.
So... That's really cool. And really, that's kind of about the only thing I've really been doing lately. You know, the only thing I've played.
Just on the Steam Deck?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because it's been, you know, on the go. Just kind of out of work. So I was like driving home and, you know, caught that it was your birthday the other day. And I wanted to say happy birthday, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. I thank you much. Mm-hmm.
So. That's it. Just wanted to say.
Well, it's good. It's always good to hear from you. And I wish you were in studio or, hell, wish you were on Discord. have you got time to talk for a minute? You got to go.
I'm about to get home, but I'm going to try and get on Discord when I get home.
Okay, try and do that and join us on there. And we'll jump back in with you if you can get back in there.
Sure thing, man.
All right, dude. I'll talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Bye. Always good hearing from Matt.
Yep.
For me, let's see. Last week was double Gambit rep, so I played a whole lot of Gambit in Destiny 2.
Mm-hmm.
Did the reset twice. Got my gilding done for the title again, so I am a 6-time title gilder, whatever you want to call that. Mm-hmm.
Just in Gambit,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Just in Gambit. This week was Iron Banner. I wrapped up my Iron Banner title and everything that I needed to do with that.
Is there anything worth today. Picking up in there?
Huh?
Is there anything worth picking up in the Iron Banner?
No. Okay. Nope.
And the streak continues.
Yeah.
Nothing, it really does. Nothing relevant for the past 3 years.
There's really nothing there. Yeah. No, there's not. No, there's not. The armor's not. Yeah, nothing. No. I did it because the pinnacles that it drops are higher level stuff. You do the challenges per day and you can get that. I also did it to gild my title, which is something that I did last year. They didn't have gilding for the title last year, but I still completed everything that I needed to complete. Doing that saved me from doing a bunch of stuff this time.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I still just had to do a bunch of stuff last time. So, mm-hmm. Either way, it's 6 in 1, half a dozen the other.
Mm-hmm. A chore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but I finished that up today, and we'll run the raid. I got my raid exotic.
Which is the what?
Touch of Malice.
Touch of Malice. Sniper?
Scout.
Scout, okay.
It's a scout rifle that once you get down to the last bullet, it starts to pull from your health.
Oh.
Yeah. So every time you fire, you lose a bit of health each time you fire the weapon.
Hopefully the bullets are more powerful.
The bullets do gain power. The more it takes off of your health, the lower health you get, the higher the damage it does. You know, but I mean, you know, you shoot it enough, it'll kill you.
Yeah.
You can also reload,
yeah,
and it loses that buff of higher impact type stuff. Or yeah, you can stand in a well from a warlock, and you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but it won't be as powerful then, will it?
It It'll still use the buff of the life force that it takes off of you.
Yeah, but your
health, it does that.
Yeah, but your health is constantly building.
Right,
the lower it is, the more powerful it is.
But when you get a full team who have that touch of malice standing in a well doing that, it's the damage mounts up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be good to have that once everybody else gets it. So far in the clan, there's only two of us that have it: me and another guy. So I ran it. The first run with the team last Saturday, it did not drop. I did not run it on Sunday with them. And then Monday, I grabbed a pickup group off of the LFG. It wasn't even with our clan. Because they had run something Sunday, and I didn't have time or feel like doing it Sunday night when they did it. And so Monday, on the day off, I decided to run my Warlock and my Titan through it. I ran my Warlock through it, and boom, it dropped. And so I was like, okay. I'm done. I'll just run it on my main so I can get the pinnacle weapons to drop and boost my level. Otherwise, that's it. I don't have to worry about that exotic anymore.
Yeah, that's typically how it goes. I mean, the main character you want this certain item for, it never drops for them.
It dropped at a lower level than what it would have dropped if it dropped on mine. But that's neither here nor there because I can infuse.
Yeah, but at least in a Destiny, you can put it in a vault somewhere and give it to your character later. You know, they pick it up.
Yeah, and I can also pull it from collections. I mean, if I get rid of it, I can pull it back down from collections.
Well,
so I mean,
you got that. You got that option to get it to your other characters.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Something like Elden Ring or Dark Souls, you need like help from someone else online to like drop and
they pick it up, and then you drop in and they give it back.
Get it back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing like that for
no
the Souls games. So yeah.
Because
that's happened plenty of times. Got a nice weapon that I'm like, oh, this would be good for my strength based character.
Yeah.
But it's on the character who can't even pick the thing up.
I did that, and did I do anything else with Destiny? I don't think I did. I got a lot done last week with Destiny through the seasonal stuff, but because of Iron Banner being the thing this week, I haven't touched any like the main storyline or anything. It was strictly Iron Banner ever since I've been logged on. So tomorrow, since I'm done with Iron Banner now, tomorrow I'll go through and at least do this week's story section and get that done. What was the other thing? Oh, yeah. I played Cult of the Lamb.
Okay.
On the Switch. That was fun. I'm not sure how far I got because I don't know how far the game goes, but I'm very early on into the game. So I have about 5 cultists and I built my temple. And so I've done a few indoctrinations in there and stuff or whatever the thing is that you do where you do declarations or something. I can't remember what it's called. It's something religious, but I've done a couple of things there, but I really haven't advanced the game very much. I need to check on my followers anyway. And did I play anything? So it came to Game Pass. Lethal Migraine is going to be completely disappointed in me. But what else? If I didn't keep up my end of the bargain, he would not listen. He would stop listening if for some reason I stopped doing these things that I do and play these games that I play that he hates. So I had been seeing trailers for this thing, and there was the character creator that came out a few weeks ago. It is for Disney's version of Animal Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
It is called Dreamlight Valley. And it's basically you inside, not necessarily the Magic Kingdom, but the castle's there, and then like Goofy lives there, and Donald and Mickey all live there, and like all the Pixar people live there, and all the, I mean, it's just massive. The IP that they have, that they can throw that in there.
So it's Disney Infinity?
I don't know what Disney... I never played Disney Infinity. You don't have to go out and buy the actual toys or anything. Think of Animal Crossing, and I know you probably haven't played Animal Crossing.
No, I've seen enough of it, yeah.
Yeah, Animal Crossing, but imagine all the people who live on your island are Disney characters.
Well, I'll just say Disney Infinity because it's like some big open world area with all these Disney characters strewn all over the place.
Well, they haven't... It's not... It is open world, but they're not all there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a storyline involved where you've got to help kind of clean up the place, and you have to garden, and you can mine, and you can go fishing, you can craft, you can buy things. Like, Scrooge runs the bank, And whenever I want to upgrade my home, I got to pay him money to get the upgraded home. Anytime I want to open up somebody's business, like the restaurant from Ratatouille, I have to go through Scrooge to get that back open. If I want to open up Goofy's whatever vegetable stand that he has, where you can kind of sell things back and forth, buy or sell things, I have to go through Scrooge to do that. He's sort of the Tom Nook, if you've played Animal Crossing. He's kind of the Tom Nook. He does not loan you money, though. Tom would always, here's a loan, and then you pay it back. So far, I haven't run into any situation where Scrooge loans you money. He does not. But I did open up the castle, which I guess is what, Sleeping Beauty's castle? I don't know which one the castle is. The main castle.
Castles and all
the castle in the Magic Kingdom. I have opened that one up, and then I opened up the realm to Wally's world from that Pixar film, Wally.
Oh, that little robot?
Yeah, the little robot. Okay. I went with him
trash
first.
Planet?
Yeah, Trash Planet.
Okay.
Exactly. I went into a Trash Planet, and I got to help him get repaired so that I can bring him over to the valley, and then he'll have a place there. I know that I know Minnie will eventually show up, and Donald will eventually show up. Right now, it is just Merlin, who is like the first person you meet when you go there. Then there is Mickey, Donald, Scrooge, and I'm sorry, no, Mickey, Goofy, and Scrooge. No Donald yet. They've talked about Donald. They've talked about Minnie, but they haven't joined the island yet. I guess I haven't progressed far enough for that to happen just yet. You can cook your own meals when you find recipes. Recipes are hidden around there. You can dig up for different items. You collect coins, things like this, where you can spend them later on. So, I mean, it's very much a Animal Crossing, but with Disney involved.
Yeah.
But more so, it's an Animal Crossing where apparently this team has looked at Animal Crossing and said, we're going to put all that in there, but let's make some improvements when we do this. For one, your tools never degrade like they do in Animal Crossing. You have your pickaxe, your shovel, your watering can, and your fishing rod. All of those are forever. I think you may can improve upon them. I'm not sure exactly how, like what it would improve, but they don't degrade. They'll always be there. You know, you're not going to run out of those. And so this is a free-to-play game, or will be when it comes out of what is currently considered early access. It will end up being a free-to-play game. Right now, if you do want to play it, you need to have Game Pass, or you need to spend one of three different tiers of money that you want to spend in order to get like the Founders Pack, the Founders Deluxe, or the Founders Collector, blah, 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 stuff like
that.
Tier
system,
I think it goes 30, 50, 80. 80 being the most. And you get a bunch of stuff with these things when you do that. If you have Game Pass, you automatically get the $30 version with your Game Pass subscription. So you don't have to pay extra to do that. You get the $30 version, which I thought was kind of cool. The $30 version gives you enough of the in-game currency to buy not only the current season pass, but probably two more season passes as well, depending on how you spend the currency it's given you. And I'm not exactly sure about collecting more of that currency, if that is something that will come by way of playing the game, as well as something that you can buy from the marketplace with actual money. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, trying to see how the profit margin comes in, because I think about what happens with Phantasy Star online, because one of the things is a storage for all the stuff that you get.
Yeah,
you know, with a pass, you get an increased amount of storage in there, but it only lasts about, I want to say, 3 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like 3 months.
Wow,
so
no.
You have to do it every time like
in
that.
In Animal Crossing and in this, if you expand your storage, it's expanded for the life of your game.
Yeah.
So there's nothing like that. Right now, I need to expand the storage on my character. I have a storage trunk in my home that I can move stuff off of my character into the storage trunk at home. But I need to expand the inventory slots on my character. That's a whopping 5,000 gold, whatever it is, gold coins.
Does it increase every time you go for another level?
I haven't unlocked it yet.
Okay.
I got close to 5,000, but yeah. I needed 4,000 to do some other thing as part of the... That's the other thing. Unlike Animal Crossing, Animal Crossing was basically, here's your island, go do your things, you know, talk to people, plant a garden if you want to, do this, do that. Your whole goal was to shapen up the island enough that you get that dog that plays guitar to join your, to come by and do a show at your island.
Mm-hmm.
You had to get a 5-star approval rating, which means everybody on the island needs to be happy. The island needs to look good and not have weeds and things like that. You need to have, you know, various type of flowers and plants and things like that. It just needs to be whatever. And then, boom, you're at the end of the game. This is not the case with Starlight or Starlight Valley. Stardew is what it reminds me of.
Yep.
This is not the case with Dreamlight Valley. Dreamlight Valley has a very structured mission system, I would say,
mm-hmm.
where every character... So right now I have Merlin, Goofy, and Mickey, and Scrooge. And they all have their own sort of tasks for me to do.
Right.
And once I do that, they kind of go behind a wall type of thing where I can't really do anything more for them until I advance more from the other characters.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, for instance, Merlin's not going to give me a new mission until I get three of my friends to level 5. They level up, kind of like you mentioned Warframe.
Yeah.
Your character levels up. Every time you level up, your stamina increases. You also have a stamina thing. So that's kind of your health. There is no combat or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for every time I use the watering can or the pickaxe or the fishing rod or the shovel or... what they call in the game my magic, which is how I remove some of the things around the area that doesn't involve shovels or any of that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You have magic that it makes it magically go away. You use some of your stamina up. So every time you level up, that stamina bar gets longer and longer.
Mm-hmm.
And to refill your stamina, you eat an apple or a fish, or you cook a meal and then eat that if you want to. Or you just walk inside your house and then walk back out.
Okay.
It fills up every time you walk into your house and walk back out, or you can just keep these foods on you and then just eat those, and boom, you got stamina back.
You got a fast travel to get to your house and back?
Right now, I haven't opened up enough that fast travel makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I'm thinking down the line, you open up more of this.
You do have fast travel.
You're gonna have a fast travel, yeah.
Because there are that option is on the map whenever I'm hovering around certain things, but I think the fast travel only puts you. In other words, if I want to go to Wally's trash planet,
mm-hmm.
instead of walking back into the castle and going through the door that's in there, if I'm at my house, I can fast travel to it from my home.
Yes, I mean, yeah.
If I want to fast travel back, so it's not going to put me, I can't fast travel from my home to McDuck's Bank, which is like just across the street
mm-hmm.
from my home. That's not how their fast travel works.
Okay.
So I can't do it that way. But... so far, I'm really, really enjoying it. It is an improved Animal Crossing. It is a refreshing Animal Crossing. I've been playing Animal Crossing for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm only playing it on Game Pass. They do have cross-save, and they do have cross-play. So I can... Well, there is no cross-play because they don't have multiplayer just yet.
Okay.
So I haven't been able to visit anybody else's place. They can't visit mine. That's something they're going to look into implementing, but so far nothing like that is in there.
Mm-hmm.
But if I spend $30 on Steam or on Switch to unlock the game there, I can take my progression from the Xbox over to the Switch or over to the Xbox or over to the PC. Little caveat there, by the way. PlayStation does not play nice. So if you get this game on PlayStation, you can transfer your progression from PS4 to PS5 or PS5 to PS4. That is it.
Mm.
It will not go to PC. It will not go to Switch. It will not go to Xbox. So if you buy on Sony, you are stuck on Sony for now. They may eventually change their minds on that, but so far they have not. Mm. So, but I'm really, really enjoying Dreamlight Valley. It's very, I like it. I really do. I'm looking forward to more improvements because there's a lot of reused animations from your characters. There are very limited voice lines from those characters, and I think they could have more. At least more variation in the voice lines their voice. They don't have to read me everything that's up on the screen that they're talking to me about. But, you know, if you could give something for Mickey to say other than, oh, boy, that'd be great. Or Goofy, who, you know.
I can hear it already.
Right, the Elk.
Yep.
Just give him something else to say. Scrooge's voice actor, obviously I've been watching too much DuckTales, or at least the revival DuckTales on Disney Plus, which is David Tennant doing the voice of Scrooge at that point, for you Doctor Who fans, which you would already know if you're a Doctor Who fan. But no. the voice is maybe a word or two might make it. But if he gets any more than, like, those two words, and I don't know what the two words are, the accent or the similarities starts to fall as far as voice sound alike type things.
Yeah.
It was Scottish, right?
Yeah.
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 And this is decidedly not, right?
No, they're trying to be, at least. They're trying
Scottish
to be.
Scottish impersonation.
Gotta be. Gotta be. It has to be. Because I'm sure Tennant's way too much money to pay for a game like this. But like I said, I'm enjoying it. I like it. It is going to take me a bit before I move over to another console because I don't feel like spending $30 on it.
Right.
Again.
Well, that's the point of Game Pass. You know, you have a whole bunch of try before you buy.
I know. It's really nice that that's there. So, I mean, I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it. But yeah, this is a game that will eventually be free to play. We're kind of waiting, and I was hoping that we would get something from the Disney showcase yesterday when Disney showed off a bunch of games. I was hoping, and they showed off Dreamlight Valley, but only the new expansion, which is going to be Toy Story, that they're going to be adding to it. But they didn't go into any kind of like release date or release window on when this thing will be out. Mm-hmm. So. Still considered early access, but I do love it. I do enjoy it. So, anyway, we got to take a break. When we come back, I'm waiting for a. Here is everything that was just there. We go. I got something from Destructoid of all people. I usually wait for Kotaku to do it, but I'll take it from Destructoid. Everything that was shown at the Assassin's Creed. Everything that was shown at the Ubisoft event that just took place. It finished up. I want to say right when we took the air. Here. So when we come back, we'll run everything down there, which got a lot of Assassin's Creed and some other stuff there. We'll also hit up Disney's Marvel stuff, Disney games and Marvel games that they showed off yesterday, and just generally go down the news there. So join us, won't you? We've got music here from a game called Dusk Diver. Actually, Dusk Diver 2. It's called We Still Believe. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat. Matt has not made it home yet. More of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Destroy All Humans 2, Reprobed. Main theme from the game. I have no idea if this stacks up to the main theme of the non remastered version? I have no clue. I don't remember this. I remember a little bit of this game. I remember it being a rental from, like, Blockbuster. And I played it, and then I took it back. Or maybe even a demo disc out of a magazine. I can't remember.
I've heard of the series, but I've never actually played it.
Yeah. I don't remember much about it, though. Seemed a lot of tongue-in-cheek, very...
Yeah, it had a unique style of humor in there, yeah.
Not really taking itself seriously, which is fine. You really shouldn't in that sense, I suppose. But completely forgot to do this last hour, so I've got to do this now to know where I can find it when I do all my editing. So there we go. Have to get that in there. So yeah, just before we came on the air, Ubisoft had a event thing, Ubisoft Forward or whatever it's called. So yeah, there was a lot shown, and I'm going to try and get through this. Now, Destructoid says this is everything that was shown at the thing. I got to take their word for it because I didn't watch it. So so maybe it is. So let's see. They kicked off the stream with Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope, showing off more gameplay. That's something I'll go back and watch because I'm very interested in the gameplay of that game. It was a lot of fun. Customization looked great. The train battle looks like a really fun time. It's no surprise that after a solid first entry, this might be worth watching. But what is surprising is seeing that Rayman himself is part of the post-launch rollout for this game. Okay, cool. That'll be new DLC for Sparks of Hope. Okay. They showed off Skull and Bones. It showed off more gameplay after a long, long development timeline. I'm just ready to see this thing out. I'm down to make a big boat and loot the high seas with some pals. So am I. Mr. Destructoid Rider, who happens to be Eric Van Allen. Thank you. Let's see. Riders Republic showed the BMX lineup of action sports alongside an Area 51 locale. The Division has new content being rolled out for The Division 2. Two of its upcoming spinoff games. So there's a lot of Division in the works. It did not mention... The Division Heartland, I guess, is one of them. I'm just, again, going by whatever Destructoid has here. Rainbow Six Mobile is getting a closed beta soon. Ubisoft and Netflix are partnering up for several mobile titles, including a sequel to 2014's Valiant Hearts. That was a great game.
Didn't need a sequel, though.
I mean, unless you're following a group of other people, sure. I don't see where you go after that story. It was very, very well contained.
It was like a very, very good, very impactful story. I mean, more the same with different folks. I mean, the impact would be lesser, especially if you've played the original, wouldn't it?
I mean, if you've got different folks, probably not. I mean, if there's different stories to be told there, even though you're in the same setting, that's fine. But if you're pulling from the well of the previous characters, maybe not so much because you've already experienced their story. You've already been through the highs and lows with them. I mean, and the lowest of lows mostly. But
well, the point I'm trying to make is that you see it coming. You know what's coming in this. It's going to be a tear-jerking, poignant story. You know what's coming.
Well, I'm fine for that. I'm fine for that. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I'm okay with them doing that. What I mean by that is, I hope it's all brand new people. You know, however they do it. I haven't watched any of this, so I don't know. This happened just before we came on the air, or at least wrapped up just before we came on the air. By the way, if you have Netflix, and I mentioned this, I don't know, I can't remember, but if you've got Netflix on like your tablet or your phone, open the app, the Netflix app on your phone. Scroll down until you get to their games. Click on those and download them to your phone. They're absolutely free. These are regularly, normally paid for games, but they are free with your Netflix subscription. But you can only get them by going into the Netflix app and going to the games section and downloading them from there. Once you do that and put them on your phone or your tablet, open up the game on that device, log into your Netflix account through it, and you will have everything there. In other words, nothing will be behind a paywall for you. You know, if it's a game that requires you to spend ever how much money to unlock something else, it's going to be unlocked. You get all of it with your Netflix subscription. So check that out. It's worth doing. Ubisoft apparently showed a tease for the next season of Mythic Quest, which is on Apple TV. I didn't know they were involved with that. Trackmania is coming to console and cloud platforms in 2023, so Stadia and your console things. Just Dance 2023 edition. What else? Then they started the Assassin's Creed stuff. All right. They officially revealed Assassin's Creed Mirage, which is the new game in the series. Apparently this takes place in Middle Eastern areas there that I can tell. Hang on, let's see. As I click on this. Baghdad. 9th century CE Baghdad. This reveal comes after several reports and rumors about the game. They confirmed its existence. Here's the story. In Assassin's Creed Mirage, you are Basim. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. A cunning street thief with nightmarish visions seeking answers and justice. After an act of deadly retribution, he flees Baghdad and joins an ancient organization, the Hidden Ones, blah, blah, blah. No firm date has been set yet outside of next year, but with some excellent voice talent already on hand and a focus on narrative adventure, it seems pretty interesting for longtime Assassin's Creed fans. They did reveal the collector's editions, which comes with a statue of your character there hanging out on the side of an arch or something like that. And a steelbook, but they do not have any art design on it just yet. Cloth map. Some digital in-game content. Ye old art book. Soundtrack, or at least selected tracks from the soundtrack.
Not the full one?
Soundtrack. Huh?
Not the full
one.
No,
it doesn't look like it's the full one. That I can tell.
It's always been a fail with a lot of the collectors.
Like, here we go. Lately. Here's a little thing of, yeah, here's just a couple tracks.
It's like what ends up happening is see, the one released domestically has like maybe 10 or 12 selected tracks from the game. And then you get the soundtrack from Japan and it has like 84, 85, 86 mm-hmm. tracks on the thing. The entire soundtrack is released. So, yeah.
Assassin's Creed is getting some more content with a mobile game on the way, currently called Codename Jade. Valhalla is also getting a last chapter DLC, which will wrap up the story of the main character for Valhalla. That DLC will be free. Ubisoft confirms there's a lot more going on with the world of Assassin's Creed Infinity, which apparently Assassin's Creed Infinity is the hub for... Oh, there's Matt. Let's bring Matt in. There he is. Hey, man.
Hey.
There we go. We're talking about Assassin's Creed here.
Yeah, I heard. Baghdad, huh?
Yeah, huh? 9th century Baghdad. I think. Is that what I said? 9th century? Yeah.
I mean, I've been playing them, all the new ones, even Valhalla, so why not?
I've dipped my toe into Valhalla, and I've gotten further in it than I got with Origins or...
Odyssey?
Odyssey, yeah. Let's see. Assassin's Creed Infinity, it's a hub for future Assassin's Creed experiences. One, called Codenamed Red, is going to take place in feudal Japan. Another in development at the Montreal office is Codename Hex. They also, and there's no, and Hex would be H-E-X-E, which may be, maybe it's Hexy? I don't know. Mm-hmm. They also tease that the company is looking into standalone multiplayer options for Assassin's Creed. It will fall under the Infinity banner, which is a unifying hub for AC's future. I'm going to click on this article here to try and expand it out a little bit and see if there's more to say about whatever this Infinity thing is. It will act as a hub of sorts for Assassin's Creed moving into the future, tying together all the differing experience of locales of Assassin's Creed. Several studios are working on projects for it right now, and as reported earlier this week, one of them is Ubisoft Quebec, which is working on something fans have likely been waiting for some time, an Assassin's Creed spotlighting Shinobi. Codename Red will see Assassin's Creed head to feudal Japan playing a Shinobi character. Also in the works was the Hex thing, which a product from Montreal with Watch Dogs Legion's creative director on board for that. No more info was given on the stream, but reports have indicated this will head to the witch trials of the Holy Roman Empire.
Yeah, I was about to say, this sounds like something with witchcraft or something.
Yeah.
The Hex thing.
All of this is part of Ubisoft's plans for the Assassin's Creed Infinity Hub, which may have more in store, alongside two codename projects. They confirmed that the publisher is looking into ways to incorporate standalone multiplayer as well, and the mobile project, Netflix partnership, and more. Yeah, they're doing some stuff with Netflix for some live-action Assassin's Creed, I think. That or maybe some animated Assassin's Creed as well. So that is what we got out of the Ubisoft Forward event.
Hmm.
A lot of Assassin's Creed, really.
Yeah.
So, yep. God, you sound much better over the Discord than you do.
Oh.
It sounds great over Discord. It's like you're here. Sort of. But not. Let's see. Is there anything I can hit up? We only got about 4 minutes till we hit the top of the hour here. I'm going to go... yeah, sure. There's some quick things we can hit on, which is Quantic Dream was bought by Diablo Immortal publisher NetEase. So the guys behind Detroit Become Human and Heavy Rain.
Beyond Two Souls.
That, yeah. And I guess now the new Star Wars title.
Yeah, they're working on a Star Wars title.
Which will be now be published by NetEase. I hate when we get new publishers that I'm used to just my big ones, you know? Now I got to think of Tencent and NetEase and, I don't know, Gameloft, which is who's doing Dreamlight Valley with the Disney stuff. Have you looked into that? You probably haven't looked into that at all, have you, Matt?
No.
Okay. It's like Animal Crossing, but with Disney.
Oh.
Yeah, it's on PC and Switch and consoles, so, you know, and I think it does run on the deck, so...
good luck to them.
It's $30 if you want to buy into it, but you can wait until it comes out of early access and it'll be free to play. So, then you can easily try it out. If you've got Game Pass, you got Game Pass on PC?
Off and on.
Okay. Well, if you've got Game Pass on PC, you can get it there. Yeah. You'll get the $30 version through Game Pass.
You know, like I said, good luck, but Animal Crossing has such a fan base.
Oh, of course.
Very loyal.
But the thing is, I don't think they're trying to compete with Animal Crossing since they're on all the consoles, and that's the difference there. Is that, yeah. Hey, Animal Crossing looks great to me, but I am not ready to buy into a Switch. Well, that's okay. Here it is on everything else that you can play. And yeah, it's kind of buggy. It's got some issues, but it's in early access. And I imagine the fact that it's Disney and not necessarily Gameloft. I imagine the fact that it is Disney footing the bill on this thing. That they're going to get it done right, and they're going to get it fixed, and they're going to get it playing the way that they want to. I'm probably putting too much faith into Disney for that. This is the same studio that had two great racing games and then killed the developer for it way back when. You know, you had Pure and you had
Split Second.
That's what it was. Two fantastic racing games that were honestly completely different from one another.
Yeah.
But they were done by BlackRock Studios, and then Disney just said, we're done. We're getting out of the games business, only to get right back into the games business after they bought Lucasfilm and Marvel. And makes me wonder, especially when they showed off a racing game, and we'll get into that next segment here. They showed off a racing game at their Disney Games thing yesterday. Mm-hmm. And as they were showing that stuff, I was like, wouldn't it be great if they said, boom, BlackRock Studios? I'd be like, oh, that's great. They're back. They're doing the thing. But they're not. But we'll go over that coming up next segment here. Matt, can you join us for next segment? Can you hang around?
Sure.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. We got to go. It's our top of the hour break, as you know. So that's a little bit of a longer one here. But when we come back, we'll have Matt with us. We'll go over the Disney stuff. That came down the pipe yesterday as well. It's some of it, the first, we'll talk about it, but yeah, they did the thing where they put a person there to talk to you about the games, and that was the cheesiest thing I've ever seen. But we'll talk about that all coming up. Here is music. Oh, man. Story time. Before we go to the top of the hour break here, story time for this next track. The year is probably 1990 or 91.
Mm-hmm.
I can't exactly remember, but I will look it up here. Because I'm actually really curious what year this game came out. Please. Okay, yeah, I was right. It was 1990. Hmm. Came out in December of 1990. So it's December. I am currently 12 years old. I'm 12 years old in December of 1990, maybe 13 at that point. But still, it's 1990, 13 years old. My father's been laid off from his job. Mom's still working, but dad's been laid off from his job and is trying to look for work. Christmas is not looking great as far as what I'm used to getting, you know, that sort of thing. And my parents have sat down and told me, here's our situation. It's not going to be a good... You know, and I was okay with that. I was completely okay with that. So anyway, Christmas Eve night, we come back from the family Christmas. We got the tree up, but the tree is completely bare. There's no presents under there waiting for us. There's going to be nothing there tomorrow. But my mother hands me this wrapped box gift, and it's because I have told her this is what I want. And, you know, this was what I wanted. This was before we talked about the fact that things are tough, times are bad, and we're not going to be able to do this. And I just thought, well, I'm just not going to get the game then. But here you go. Gave me the box. I open it up. And there it is. There's the game. There's the game that I wanted. And it's the only Christmas present I get that year from that family type thing. The only Christmas thing that I got that year. That was it. And, so it's always kind of held a special place in my heart because of that. It's a cheesy whatever game. I have no sentimental value towards the game other than that.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime I hear like the opening of the theme and everything else, you know, I remember anytime I see the box art, because that really stuck out to me, because as soon as I opened it, I knew exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. And I was just, you know, oh man, it was just a great little Christmas that they made happen for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it, you know, a little thing. Anyway, it's currently re-released now in the Cowabunga collection from Konami. And it is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game that was on the NES, released in December of 1990. Here is music from that game, and we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Listening to music from Cult of the Lamb. It's called Praise the Lamb. Any interest in that game, Matt?
It looks really cute, but I've got enough on my plate right now that maybe later.
Yeah, it's fine.
It seems like something that Daniel would really be
probably
would be into.
Probably would. It's got a
Binding of Isaac.
Yeah, it's got a Binding of Isaac feel to it. You're exactly right. Exactly right on that. So that's why he would be interested in that. Oh man. Welcome back to the show, and let's see. Let's jump into the Disney stuff from yesterday. Well, did I not? You know what? I saved it, but I didn't go back and put it in the list of stuff. There it is, though. I got it. Here we go. Everything shown at Disney and Marvel's D23 event. And there was a lot. Let's see. Marvel's Midnight Suns, which got delayed and got a brand new release date. It was supposed to be released in March and then got delayed twice. It is now coming in December for PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series X and S. There was also an animated short that was shown off as well, and there's going to be three like prequel shorts that are animated to set the story or the tone or whatever it is. It seems to be XCOM related. I mean, I like the idea of what that is. Like, hey, it's XCOM, but you're playing with Marvel superheroes to do that with. Mm-hmm. Except I also think it's card-based. And I'm not at all thrilled about that. The animation that was shown off, I was fine with. The little animation story thing, that stuff was great. Mm-hmm. And I could watch more of that. You guys at Disney want to turn that into a series, go right ahead. Because I really, really enjoyed that style that you were showing off. Otherwise, though, I didn't like what I was seeing there. We got another look at, or at least the first look, I believe, of Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. Which there was a new trailer for that one. It is basically a Call of Duty-esque deathmatch type of game for Avatar. Whenever that movie gets released, Ubisoft publishers on that. Mm-hmm. There was a mobile game, Avatar Reckoning, that was shown off. And it's an MMORPG shooter that you play on your phone. Instantly dismissed because I have no desire. It's like, no. First off, the IP, I have no interest in the Avatar IP. Mm-hmm. If they can do something with it and it actually works, that's fine. I'd be great to. But it's got two things going against it. The IP, which I have no interest, Avatar just, it had one film. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to have more. Currently, it's got one film under its belt, And I know we could go ahead and say currently it has two films under its belt. It's supposed to have, what, five, three, four, something like that? I can't remember.
Got some Disney rides.
Did it?
Yeah, at Disney World in the Animal Kingdom, they have a whole Pandora's, like, section.
Well, that's right, because they bought 20th Century Fox, so they got the Avatar stuff. That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. I was like, why is Avatar in the Disney stuff anyway?
Yeah, Navi River Cruise and Flights of Passage.
I obviously haven't been to Disney or paid attention to Disney World enough to know that's there. Lego Star Wars, The Skywalker Saga is getting a Galactic Edition, which will be adding 30 new playable characters to The Skywalker Saga.
Jeez.
The Galactic Edition will include six character packs, running you $6 a pop. It comes out November 1st for everything, if you want the Galactic Edition. Marvel Snap seemed interesting. It's kind of a Hearthstone, but with Marvel characters. Strategy game, but it's also for mobile. That's the other thing that it has, that any game that's, the IP for Avatar is not helping it, and then the fact that it's a mobile game was also not helping it. Mobile is almost an instant write-off for me. Anything of any depth, I'm just, meh. Mobile games, I think of puzzle games mostly, like The Room or Oh God, there's another one that I really enjoyed playing. I've
not words, Wordle.
Yeah, I've forgotten. Excuse me. Yeah, Monument Valley was the other one that I was thinking of.
Yeah.
But all puzzle related.
The puzzle and word games are the only things I think about with mobile. I mean, I'll play Wordle on my phone or something like that, but something in depth or big like a fighting game, I couldn't do it. I mean, Street Fighter had a mobile game up, mobile thing on there, and I'm like, no, that can't, wouldn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not my wheelhouse. So I just let that go on.
We got a game called Illusion Island. This is not something I would that I'm probably going to ever play, but when I looked at it, I thought this is a perfect idea. It is a 4-player co-op platformer using Mickey, Minnie, Donald, and Goofy.
Mm-hmm.
From the animated series The Wonderful World of Mickey Mouse. The animations look great for this. The gameplay looks fantastic. It is all platforming. It is 4-player fun. I think it's great. You can bring it's 4-player couch co-op type stuff. So I think it'll be great and do well. We got a release date and more information on Return to Monkey Island, which we're getting on September the 19th.
19th, International Pirate Day.
Yep. So feel free to talk like a pirate while you're playing Return to Monkey Island. I know you'll be down for that. Well, you're PC and Switch, so I guess you're going PC on that?
Yeah, I already have it pre-ordered.
I figured.
Ron and Dave are going to be back, the original creators of Monkey Island 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah. No. Ron has not been silent on his opinion of things when it comes to this. And I'm perfectly fine with him, with what he said.
I'm curious because, he has said that, he's going to reserve the right to include or just ignore anything past 2, which is fine. But, 3 is still one of my favorites. Curse of Monkey Island. That was the one that I really got into, the series with. So I'm always going to have some love for that one because that was the first one that had a voice to Guybrush with Dominic Amato.
Mm-hmm.
So, but luckily he's voiced him ever since, even including, went back with 1 and 2. But, whenever I think of Guybrush, I hear his voice, because of 3.
Yeah.
So, put some in, ignore some, whatever. I'm just curious what he's going to do with it.
Well, you'll find out on September the 19th. Mm-hmm. They showed off some Dreamlight Valley stuff, getting the expansion with Toy Story.
I looked at some pictures for Dreamlight Valley, and, the Disney characters look, fantastic as always.
Yes, they do.
The human character that, I don't know.
Well, the human character has a ton of customizable options, and there's no restriction on how you do this. In other words, every now and again you get just what's called a clothing bag or something. You open it up and there's a new item of clothes, whether it be shoes or shorts or shirts or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't matter what kind of character you've created. If you've created a male character, you can still get female clothing items just, randomly. The RNG just gives you whatever. I got like a blue formal gown from Scrooge at one point. And
can these be sold or put on?
Yeah, you can sell them.
Okay, yeah.
Or you can keep them in your collection. They don't go there's a complete separate inventory for clothing items. And that is apparently, I don't want to say infinite, but there's no limit to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like if I get too many clothes, I got to get rid of some stuff or anything like that. But I, as my male character, I put on my formal gown and I walked around the island for a while in this blue formal gown. By the way, I designed my character to look like Geralt of Rivia from Witcher.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's got long gray hair, gray beard, and everything else tall. But he's just whatever, that's what I did. In the original character creator thing, I built a pirate. And then when this game came out, I said, I'm going to do something different. And so I went all that way with it. But you can do anything. There's so many customizable options for your character in that thing. Although more get unlocked as you play through the game.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do other stuff with. So yeah, they showed off that. Then they showed off that that racing game. It's called Speedstorm, and it's a kart racer. So yeah, it looks like it looks real decent. I mean, it looks very, very decent to give kind of Mario Kart a run for its money for being the kart racer of kart racers. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's called Disney Speedstorm. You can sign up for updates at their website currently and wishlist the game on Steam and the Epic Game Store, which I guess means I'm sure it'll get a console release. But right now it's just looks like you can only do that on the Steam and Epic Game Store. Mm-hmm. What else they show off? Oh, Mirrorverse. I don't know anything about this. Oh, God, it's a mobile RPG. Okay. I liked it, though. I liked what I saw of it, or at least, see, they didn't show, I don't think they showed a lick of gameplay. I think it was a complete cinematic trailer type thing, but you play nothing but villains. You play as villains. Mm-hmm. And so you get a team of villains together, Disney villains. And they all have their different, their different abilities and everything that goes with it. Yeah. And I liked the thought of that. I was like, this is a good little, yeah. But then it's a mobile RPG. There was no gameplay, so I'm not exactly sure how that whole thing plays out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think they're leaning a little too heavy into the mobile division.
Yeah. A lot of games are going that way. I mean, but think about the time when we were playing City of Heroes. I mean, City of Villains comes out, and you're like, yeah, that's a nice little change of pace from what you're...
I think it was a little too late. Mm-hmm. I think that was something that was too little too late.
But I mean, just the concept of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're typically the hero, the protagonist, things like that, but you're taking it from a different perspective now, and build off that.
Yeah, I just wish they would let go of the mobile aspect of it, or somehow keep it there, but also bring it to consoles, or to whatever, to PC console type stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to play it on my phone.
I'm thinking about the risk reward. A lot of games are going that way. That's obviously a demand for it, a call for it.
I don't know if there's a demand for it or if that's just where the money is.
The money is.
Yeah, because you can monetize it so well that you can probably make more money off of it that way.
Okay, well, there you go then.
Yeah, you're probably right.
One takes precedence over the other, money or demand. So the money, right. More money into it. So yeah, go into that. So you're going to go, that's where they're going to go.
Yep. What else did they show off? This is another mobile game, isn't it? Yep. There's another mobile game called Marvel Strike Force. It is a turn-based RPG for mobile. They showed off a new trailer. Apparently, this is a game that released in 2018, but I guess they're giving it a reboot of some sort. But, go ahead and have that. Then they showed a little bit of Aliens Dark Descent. This I was fine with. It's not mobile, but it's a squad-based RTS strategy game set in the Alien universe. So I don't know if you watched any of that, Matt, but there is a...
I've seen some stuff about it.
Yeah, there was a gameplay reveal, and I'm like, okay, this, you got me again. Anytime you throw in like RTS strategy, like XCOM type stuff, but wrap it into a familiar piece of whatever,
either lore or a feel, like, you know, like The Ascent, you know, felt like, oh yeah, it's cyberpunk, even though I've never been in that universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know that feel.
Yep. And so putting it in the Aliens universe is absolutely fine. I like the fact that it's not whatever the other one was where you're sneaking around the ship trying not to die. And gives you
survival horror one.
Yeah, I don't want survival horror than my Aliens. Even though it lends itself very well to that genre.
It's tailor made for it, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
For
I think of the original. I think of the original Alien.
Exactly.
Think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that whole movie is survival horror.
Yeah.
So, but I like this aspect of like, okay, well, fine, it's survival horror, but give me the Marines, all of them, and give me, let's go out there and shoot aliens. So.
So this is like Evolve or Predator Battlegrounds or something like that?
No. This is more of if you think of Tom Clancy's Endgame. Was it Endgame? No.
Yes.
Was it Endgame? Yeah.
Endgame was the strategy.
It's a top-down strategy type thing. So You've got, you can see, yeah, you can see where enemies are, where your cover is. You can tell your squad to move to this position, and they'll go over there. Then they take turns and come near, and you guys have turn-based squad battle stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah. Which I enjoyed. And they had, man, whoever was doing the, he was a, look, he's a perfectly fine actor, man, person, thing, whatever. Host, I guess. He was perfectly fine. I don't even know the guy's name. But far too scripted, far too over-enthusiastic, and completely unnecessary to be our in-betweens. You could do that with text. You could do that with narration that wasn't just somebody standing there talking to me. But whatever, I'll let him. Yeah. That's fine.
You make it sound like the living embodiment of the fluff that you want removed from the Game Award shows.
It's the same. Really, it's the same thing. Less talky, more showy. Marvel World of Heroes. Looks like a Pokemon Go thing, but with Marvel. Mm. It's developed by Niantic, whatever they are. Same people that did Pokemon Go. Mm-hmm. And whatever that Harry Potter thing was as well.
Yeah.
Yep. So expect a lot of people walking around with their phones looking up Marvel characters. I guess. I don't exactly know how it's going to work, but that's how it's going to be. They also didn't show any gameplay. They showed really absolutely nothing but a title card for a new game called Tron Identity.
Mm.
I know. Wait, what?
Haven't quite given up on the Tron IP yet. Well, you know, Disney is coming out with a new Tron ride at Disney World.
Do what now?
Disney's coming out with the new Tron ride.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an IP that that I hope they haven't forgotten, even though they seem to have forgotten it after Tron Legacy. Legacy. Yeah.
But, like, maybe with this new ride coming out, that'll give new life to it again.
Yeah, they also had that animated series, I think, as well, didn't they?
Uprising.
Yeah, which I don't think was half bad.
It was good. It just ended really abruptly.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever forget any. I don't think Disney is a company who will forget any of their IPs. They just don't know what to do with it. Maybe that's a more apt.
If their IP can make them money, they won't forget it.
Yeah, they're not going to forget it.
The this description here says it looks like we're getting a new Tron game in Tron Identity, and then he says apparently it's a visual novel.
Oh,
that's okay. Now, I'm wondering where he gets that idea from, or where this, whoever this is, gets that idea from, whoever wrote this article. Isaiah Colbert, or Colbert, maybe. But I'm wondering where they figured out that it, because they provide no link or anything to show why they say it's a visual novel.
I don't know, maybe see some screenshots and text or whatever.
I would like to, I need to look into more.
I wasn't allowed to put it out there for general consumption yet.
Yeah. They also showed off one more game, which is the new game that Amy Hennig is working on. It is a game involving Captain America and Black Panther. They are apparently fighting Nazis during World War II.
Okay.
Uh-huh. While the trailer skimped on gameplay, yep, sure did. The concept behind the game is definitely promising. Honestly, there was no gameplay. It was a completely cinematic-type trailer and gave you really no sense of what you're going to be doing. It didn't even give you a title.
Yeah.
Which is why this was called New Black Panther Captain America Game. We don't know what the title's going to be. It also... so I don't know. I don't even know what type of game it is. Is it a first-person shooter? Is it a, probably not.
In a Captain America game? Shooting?
Shield
tossing. I mean, I can't. What type of genre would
it depends, fit, though. Do you play as Captain America? Or do you play one of the, what are they called? The Wild, not the Wild Bunch.
Thought it was Wild Bunch. Howling Commandos?
Howling Commandos, yeah.
Howling Commandos,
yeah. Yes. What if you play one of them, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, then there would be shooting at that point.
It does show guns, or at least it shows some of them.
America did use a gun in the first Avenger.
And they were, okay, that's right. Yeah, he did. Yeah. Little handgun, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and in the montage, shields, yeah.
But yeah, it does show people with gun. It shows a soldier with a gun on the whatever this art is on the front.
Dugan and Bucky and the other members of the crew. Yeah,
if they're involved, I have no idea. Keep in mind that it's coming from Annie Hennig, which doesn't necessarily lend itself to first person shooter. That's not her genre typically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is probably a third person adventure title.
Yeah, adventure.
How Black Panther is involved in World War II stuff, I have no idea.
I wonder which, which version, because it wouldn't be T'Challa.
No, it would be two generations back.
Unless there's time travel involved in this, or unless there is a future fight and past fight type stuff where you...
throw time in there, you get it.
You fight with Captain America in the flashbacks, and then you fight with Black Panther in the modern times.
Yeah.
Or you're both. I have no idea. We don't know. We don't know. Pure speculation on that at all.
All we can say really is what type of genre this thing's going to be.
Anyway, I'm hoping for the best. I'm glad that she's getting something off the ground. I mean, look, we saw some Star Wars stuff from her game a long time ago that never finished. So let's hope we get this.
Really wanted to play that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. That was the whole lineup of the Disney and Marvel games that that they talked about.
And something I was thinking about, going back to what you said about, what was Speedstorm?
Yeah, the kart racer. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we talked about it before. Wreck-It Ralph, remember that Sugar Rush, that racing game there?
Yeah, totally.
I said that would be the best Disney-like kart racer would be that. Which you did in Wreck-It Ralph. So maybe there'll be some elements of that in this Speedstorm.
That is a perfect that's a perfect example of exactly of what that could be. Because it is a kart racer, and like Mulan is one of the kart racers. Mm-hmm. And she fires this cannon from her cart, you know? And there was another one. Jack Sparrow drives a cart, and he has a special move, and Mickey has a special move, and Sully from Monsters, Inc. has a special move.
Yeah, but so basically IP creators, all-stars. I think about Sonic All-Star Racing, a bunch of Sega characters with specialized specials based on their game and genre. So the same thing with
and I think Disney that's exactly what you're getting out of Speedstorm as well.
Yeah.
So it's just the fact that when you think about it, their IP is massive.
Yeah.
Disney's IP is gigantic. It makes me wonder, when I first looked at what Dreamlight Valley offered, I thought, man, if this game, and then reading that it was free to play, I thought, oh, they're going to nickel and dime me to death on this. Like, hey, you can unlock this with this much money or whatever the case may be. Although they have assured us that all the monetary gains are completely cosmetic. So when you buy stuff, you're only buying outfits and things like that. You're not buying anything that's going to progress the game further for you than it is for anybody else. Mm-hmm. We'll see about that.
Yeah.
We'll see about that. Because I'm not sure. But yeah. Anyway, we're at the bottom of the hour here. Going to take another break. You want to hang tight with us, Matt?
Sure.
All right, man. Dude, yeah, that's fine. Do the rest. You can do the show from Discord. That's totally fine. If you can't make it and you want to do it on Discord, that works for me. Because that's one of the great things about Discord is just, you can stay at home and do that if you want to. And so that's what we're going to do. This next track is from a game called Immortality, I believe. And we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Thank you. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from a game called My Time at Sandrock, which is basically like a Stardew Valley type thing. I don't want to say farming simulator, but whatever that whole thing is, that genre where you live in a town and you work a farm and then meet people in the town and that sort of thing.
Sandrock doesn't sound very bountiful.
Well, there was another game called My Time at, I think it's Portia. Portia. Yeah, My Time at Portia. So I think this is another in the series. Mm-hmm. It's got a nice little pick-me-up there in the middle of the song.
Sound like an old West town.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Portia was farming. Maybe Sandrock is mining. I don't know.
That'd be better, yeah.
Maybe it's something like that. I don't play it. It's just there. So, yeah. only got a few more minutes here. I say a few more minutes. Got like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So, earlier this week, Microsoft said that Call of Duty will release on PlayStation for several more years. Microsoft's Xbox boss, Phil Spencer, made a commitment to Jim Ryan, who is the boss over at PlayStation, in a written letter saying that Call of Duty wasn't going to disappear off the PlayStation storefront anytime soon if the whole Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard was approved. And so he said in a tweet back in January, he said, "I confirmed our intent to honor all existing agreements upon acquisition of Activision Blizzard and our desire to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation. Sony is an important part of our industry, and we value our relationship." While exactly how long several more years might be unknown, PlayStation players who have feared that the franchise would become an Xbox exclusive can breathe easy for a while. Sony has now since said that the offer was inadequate on many levels. In a statement provided to GameIndustry.biz, Jim Ryan says the offer was inadequate on many levels. The disagreement between the two companies follows that deal where Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard for $69 billion.
I'm sorry, how much?
Billion with a B.
$69 billion. Billion.
Yeah.
Man.
Look, Disney bought Star Wars for $4 billion, I think. Wasn't it like four?
I thought it was six.
Sure. We could go single-digit billion dollars. That's fine. Yeah. You could go double-digit billion dollars, and you probably still wouldn't hit $69 billion. Yeah. God. I'd forgotten about that because that's the same reaction I had when I remember being reactive to it. Like, God, that's a lot of money for a gaming company. And how much else other things cost, right?
Yeah.
Like going back and saying, wow, they only bought them for this much? Because there was another purchase not too long after that that I thought would have been a lot more, but it was like just pocket change compared to $69 billion. Anyway. The deal is currently being scrutinized by regulators, especially with the UK regulator who are looking over that thing. Anyway, last week, Xbox revealed that it had provided a signed agreement to Sony to guarantee Call of Duty on PlayStation with feature and content parity for at least several more years. Xbox said that this offer goes well beyond typical gaming industry agreements. The current deal between Sony and Activision Blizzard around Call of Duty is believed to cover the next three releases, including this year's release. However, Sony says the offer fails to consider the impact on PlayStation gamers. "I hadn't intended to comment on what I understood to be a private business discussion, but I feel the need to set the record straight because Phil Spencer brought this into the public forum," said Jim Ryan, the other boss. The two bosses going back and forth. "Microsoft has only offered for Call of Duty to remain on PlayStation for 3 years after the current agreement between Microsoft or Activision and Sony ends. After almost 20 years of Call of Duty on PlayStation, their proposal was inadequate on many levels and failed to take account of the impact on our gamers. We want to guarantee PlayStation gamers continue to have the highest quality Call of Duty experience, and Microsoft's proposal undermines this principle. And that is where it is left currently. I can't really. I'm sorry, Sony. They own the IP now.
Impact on PlayStation gamers, not really impact on your bottom line, because you know what's coming eventually. That stuff is going to be off your console. And they can do that.
Yeah.
So
that's my whole thing. It's just like, well, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sure Microsoft would like you to release some game that you've owned. Well, I don't know. You got Bungie now. But regardless, I'm just saying.
Is that the other deal you were thinking about?
No, it wasn't. It was some other deal. I mean, Bungie, the buying of Bungie was pretty big, too. But that was just kind of a shocking thing. But no, it was nothing like that. Yeah. I mean, $69 billion. Here's my point, though. It's hard for me to say because I am not a Call of Duty player.
Yeah, neither am I.
I'm also a guy who's got both consoles, so it really didn't matter which way it was going to fall if I was a Call of Duty player.
Right.
But my whole thing is that Microsoft owns them now, and they're going to do this. It would suck, you know?
It's on PC, too, right?
Yeah.
Get it on PC.
There's that, too, if you have a PC. Some people just, they're on PlayStation, I guess. I don't know.
What? A PlayStation that doesn't have a PC.
Oh, I mean, or plenty of people.
One capable of gaming.
I'm sure plenty.
I'm not a PC gamer, but it's an option.
I mean, for the longest time, Matt only had a laptop to play on.
Mm-hmm.
True.
If you were talking about PC gaming, you were talking about his laptop.
Yeah.
So.
It was so loud.
It was. Yeah. It was very loud. But point being is that, your PlayStation players are going to be missing out on Call of Duty, but Now, while they have said this only goes for the next 3 years, the next three releases, and counting this one, that's not to say that they're not going to, revamp that contract or extend it, before that's over with, mm-hmm. where they continue to bring that. I have no idea. Maybe they say, look, we'll do this, but Sony, you're going to have to pay us some money if you want the rights to this on your machine or whatever the case may be.
Call of Duty is a cash cow. They're not going to give it up easy, man. Look, and it's theirs now. So
and it's theirs.
Yeah, so.
They paid $69 billion to probably keep it off of your system. Yeah, so I can't. Yeah, it's that's yeah. This is it. Now you can complain about this is why it sucks that these companies are buying up all these companies because now they're limiting the play or limiting whatever it is and. I can agree with you on that front as well, but it's also business that's going to happen. These things are going to happen. Whether you can pout about it on your forums, it's not going to change the fact that this is just how it's going to be. If something like Call of Duty is massively successful, there's always another big fish ready to, bite into that and have it as their own. So it's always going to be the case. Hopefully it doesn't limit gamers to playing it, but you're already limited with exclusive IP. I mean, there's not a Nintendo game that gets released on any other console but Nintendo.
Right. So what else is old?
And I understand that they own the IP, they own the property, but that's the same thing that's happening here. Microsoft now owns that IP.
Yeah.
Call of Duty is now a Microsoft property, just like Mario's a Nintendo property, just like Metroid is a Nintendo property, just like God of War is a Sony property.
Yeah.
Sonic is a Sega property, even though then they put that out on all the systems.
Yeah.
So
they could have got away with it. It wouldn't have been any releases if they wanted to.
It's just one of those things where it's just, this is just...
So that was that deal with Activision that they stuck with, right?
To have
it released on Sony consoles. That was the deal between Sony and Activision.
Microsoft said that they would honor all previous agreements, and I don't know if this is the. I think the previous agreement was Sony was going to get this year's release.
Yeah,
but then the next two releases are going to also be on Sony and Microsoft as well. Even though by the next two releases they'll fully be under the Microsoft family.
If those previous agreements weren't in place, then they could have just said, "Nope, no more Sony, no more."
Yeah, but I don't think Microsoft would do that. I don't think Microsoft And likely they're going to do this with other titles. I mean, they bought Bethesda and, mm-hmm. you know, Activision Blizzard and stuff. They've got a lot that they can work with for exclusivity. I think Call of Duty lends itself to being on both the consoles for you're going to make more money that way. Mm-hmm. And I realize Call of Duty also has the kind of pull where if you only limited it to your one console, it could be a system seller. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It could be one of those things to tout that, hey, this is the only way you're going to play Call of Duty is either on your PC or on your Xbox, you know?
Yeah.
And use that as a way to pull people in. You could go both ways with it. I don't know which way they need to go or which way they want to go. Microsoft is doing pretty good.
Would it be on Game Pass?
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. Base game will be on Game Pass. DLC will be DLC. The other type of stuff with the paid for cosmetics
we talked about it earlier. They're going to go where the money is, so which would make them more money?
Mobile.
Having to buy it or putting it on Game Pass.
Game Pass will sell subscriptions, and I think they like that. I think it gets them more money with a subscription. I really think it does.
Okay.
Because they are really pushing that Game Pass hard. Mm-hmm. So I think that'll be where they go with it. But I don't know. We're going to have to see. The next couple of years are going to be interesting to see how this sort of works out and what they implement with this, especially where Diablo is concerned, since they own Blizzard. Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting to see what they do with that. I don't see Sony up in arms over Diablo. Yeah, I know. It's just Call of Duty, which for them, I guess, was a big... Like, that's the other thing.
Yeah, cash cow.
How? I mean, I'm sure they get a cut of whatever's being sold, you know, the game that gets sold. I'm sure they get a cut for that sort of thing, but I don't know how it benefits them not owning the property. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because how is it a system seller, you know, with the fact that it is a multi-platform game, how can you claim that as like your system seller as being Call of Duty? Now, I don't know if they had any other things in place where, like, hey, we get this map for the first 60 days, or we get this item for the first ever how many days before Microsoft gets it. That kind of used to be a thing. I don't even know if that's a thing anymore. Lethal Migraine says the number one and number three games sold on PlayStation last year were Call of Duty. But how much money, what money does that bring into Sony? What kind of a cut does Sony get from the fact that that game was number one and number three on PlayStation last year? Other than the fact that a lot of people who have PlayStations are buying Call of Duty. Are they not also buying other games on that system? I'm sure they are. In other words, if you've got a PlayStation and you've got an Xbox, what's it matter to you as a consumer first? Where it goes, since you've got both. But I don't understand how Sony is so... I guess it sells systems for them. I guess they can look at numbers and see, well, the game released and our system sales went up when this game released at the same time. I guess they've got the data to back that up. Mm-hmm. I can only figure that's the case, that it sells systems. Because I can't... he says 30%. So Sony gets 30% of every sale of Call of Duty on the system. That's a good chunk.
Yeah.
When you consider how many people buy Call of Duty, that's a very big chunk of money. So yeah, I can see where they're worried about that. But I'm sorry, they own the property.
It's theirs now.
There's nothing you. Did they win? Oh no, they haven't won. Okay, I'm sorry. There's a couple of nail biter games going on right now.
Yeah, we got an upset. We got an upset alert in college football.
We got an interesting little thing panning out. There's only about a minute and a half left in this game, and the number six team is losing to an unranked college team. So,
yeah, someone might get fired.
maybe.
I saw the one earlier today between Alabama and Texas.
Yeah, that was also another nail biter. Came out at the very squeak that went out that they did.
Last 10 seconds.
Yep. That was interesting to read about what is going on between Sony and Microsoft with that situation. Hey, I don't know if you've ever watched it. Me and Wendy watched it probably a couple of months back But the League of Legends Arcane on Netflix is fantastic, and so much so that it is the first gaming series thing to win an Emmy Award for Outstanding Animated Program.
Really?
It is on Netflix. It's called Arcane. It's really, really good. The animation is fantastic. The story is really good for it. You do not have to know a single thing about League of Legends, because I did not.
I knew
nothing about League of Legends, but you don't have to enjoy that. And it's really good. So give it a look if you feel like it. It won Outstanding Animation Award, an Emmy Award. So good job on that. Hopefully we're getting another season of that. I really hope so. I can only be grateful that Netflix isn't HBO Max, since they've just killed their complete animation division.
Yeah.
Although I think we're getting a season 4 of Harley at least. I think we're getting a season 4 of that. But they canceled the Batman revival that they were going to do, the animated series revival they were doing. They canceled that and whatever else. So, meh.
But Harley was their biggest one, wasn't it? Animation-wise.
Well, yeah. It had already gone through 2 seasons with a 3rd that just released now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good. We're probably not getting any more Doom Patrol, which is kind of sad. I really enjoyed that. But, yeah, who knows? Let's see. PlayStation Plus, September games, Need for Speed Heat, Toem, and Granblue Fantasy Versus. From Software had new investments from Sony and Tencent and may soon publish their own games. Good job for From Software for being able to do that. Let's see. And Crystal Dynamics now has control over Tomb Raider after Square Enix had sold off the rest of all their stuff. Keeping the Final Fantasy things, but selling off pretty much everything else. So,
Good for Crystal Dynamics.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. By the way, Tomb Raider is free this week on Epic Game Store. Shadow of the Tomb Raider is free.
Shadow.
Yeah, okay. Shadow of the Tomb Raider, I believe, is free on Epic Game Store, along with 2 other games, I think, that are free. Actually, I think one of those is like a character pack for a free-to-play game, but I can't remember all what it was. Anyway, Matt, thanks so much, man. It was great hearing from you.
My pleasure.
You're going to join us? You're going to be able to join us next weekend on the Discords?
I'm going to be in Atlanta for a concert.
Well, then never mind. Oh, that's right. Never mind then. But it was good hearing from you from this week. So thanks for joining in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to go, but take care, man.
Have a good one, y'all.
You too, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye. That is going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thanks for Matt, taking the time to join us in there. The chat room, we had Sophia Fox, Stephen Van Dam, Lethal Migraine, Erica FNBR, Commander Root, Bama Brian, Anna Banana, Alicedra, AC Wraith in there as well, all hanging out in the chat room. So thank you so much, everybody. Join us on Discord. Join us on Twitch. Join us on our YouTube channel, on our iTunes, where we put up the podcast and everything. We can't thank you enough for hanging out with us. We want you to have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday. This is music from RimWorld. It is called New Day. And you have a great day and a great weekend.